Thanks, Trev. I do feel guilty a bit because I probably see more of Sage than Trev does. And having grandkids on my own, I realise that that's just not fair, but sometimes it's the way it is. Well, it is a privilege to be here this morning and to share a word with you. And it was great to go to Warnsey's party yesterday and to see some faces from the past and do some catching up. I'm not used to people kind of spread out quite so much. So I'm a bit like a rabbit in the spotlight. I don't know where to look. So this morning I've got a message. If Trevor can talk about how you can have a sermon from a lost granddaughter, I've got a sermon from a bus trip for the youth on Friday to Orange. And this morning the message is called Don't Skip It. Don't Skip It. Now, if you're over 40, when I say the word skipping, you think of, you know, the rope and jump in the rope and skip. Yeah, if you're under 40, and I'll explain it to you, the kids, we go in the bus, we've got a plug where we can plug that. I think you've got the same thing. You can plug your phone into the PA on the bus. And so they started playing songs. It was going pretty good for a while. And then someone gave the phone to one of the young kids, and they started, and they used Spotify. So now, if you're over 40, who knows what Spotify is if you're over 40? Good. You're all up with it. Oh, Trevor, thank you. You're a long way away, so you're safe. So Spotify is like an app where you can actually don't have to buy music, you can just listen to it. And the big thing with you can get it free or you can pay for it. And then if you pay for it, you can have as many skips as you like. This is their kind of enticement to pay the $9 a month for free music. Anyway, this one wasn't free Spotify. But the kids, no, actually it was. It was Jodie's phone, and she actually pays for her Spotify. I'm too stingy. And so they would start listening to a song. And all the kids go, no, skip it, you know. I'm going, okay. Now, I'm just bearing my soul here. I have a trouble with skipping songs, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So when we're going along, and look, we got to the stage there. I think they skipped like four songs in a row. I said, that's it. Give me the... No, I was driving. I said, just play a song. Because that you'd get about, 10 seconds, skip, you know. Someone would yell out, skip it. Okay, is anybody else here non-skippers? Yeah, come on. Okay. So I grew up in the stage, in the age when my first music acquisition was a Susie Quattro. And it was before they had CDs. CDs were unheard of. It was a cassette tape. Okay, who's ever owned a cassette tape? Again, if you're under 40, Ellie, I'm proud of you. Okay, yes, portable music. It was amazing. I was driving along the road the other day and I actually saw one. It was like, you used to see a lot more of them, didn't you? And it was sort of, you know, the brown tape inside. And I thought, what's that? And I looked at it, I knew what it was. It was a cassette tape. And obviously, I knew exactly what had happened. He'd had enough and just threw it out the window. And in the old days, when you had cassette tapes and you tried to skip and muck around with the songs and repeat songs, you can remember this. You could do it a few times, but if you did it too much, then the tape would start playing up. And, you know, and you'd be listening to your song and then it would stop playing. And then you'd go to pull it out of the player. You're all too young, aren't you? And the dreaded brown tape. And you'd keep pulling it. You'd think, how much is sucked in there? And if it got all crinkled up, you just knew it was like out the window. It was had it, wasn't it? And I think we grew up in an era where skipping just wasn't. You just listened to the whole lot. And quite often you bought it. And look, there was probably only one song on that Susie Quattro that I really liked. It was Devil Gate Drive. And I wasn't a Christian. Okay, cut me some slack. But it got me thinking as I was sort of thinking about frustrations and not skipping. Skipping for me, and again, not the skipping with a rope, but this sort of keep jumping. And I watch some of the young people. And I guess it's not just a young people attitude. We can all have a kind of a skipping attitude where we just don't hang in there. I wrote down the skipping mentality. I won't lock in. I'll keep my options open. We see that in relationships a bit, don't we? People are afraid to lock in. I'll just skip this one. If it doesn't work out, I'll skip it. If I don't like it, I'll skip it. Yeah, if it gets too hard, I'm out of here. If it's not fun, it's not fun. If I'm not making top money, I'll jump jobs. And it's amazing the opportunities that people have got these days. But really, we can't let those things determine whether we stick at something or not, especially in this walk with God. I was really, even as Ray was kind of sharing, you know, about what's happening in Iraq and the bishop there, the things that he has to face. You realize there's people, and we hear about it in the news all the time, that we in Sri Lanka and Nigeria. People choose to not skip. People choose to put themselves in a place of danger because it's the right thing, not the right thing to suffer, but the right thing to remain faithful to their calling and their place in God, that God has for them. And I was thinking back to my life, you know, and I guess I could tell you 100 stories, but I don't know about you, but I learnt so much more about God when I didn't skip. God is good. I wasn't always good at not skipping. I will tell you this. In about 1970, my mum came down to this church, not here, but up in the main street. She'd got born again when she was in high school in Sydney, and always we went to church kind of sporadically to the United Church. It was a living faith. It wasn't. Her husband died, and she was left with 4 little kids, so it was always a bit of a struggle. And I'm sure it was her faith that sort of kept her on track. But she came with a friend of hers that had been spirit-filled years before, and she got filled with the Holy Spirit up in the little church up at the end of the main street. And it started a journey that really transformed all of our kids' lives in our family. So Mum really began to start working on us. She used to have these Youth for Christ rallies, and again, I don't know whether anyone was here at that time, but I know they had a really big one in Wagga. And so we went over there, and I can remember the guy speaking, and I had never felt the conviction of God. It was like, wow. Anyway, I skipped it. I went home. I was cranky with myself because I knew God had spoken to my heart. You make a decision. But I skipped it. Then I think the next year they had a massive youth camp up in Tullabudgera, up near the Gold Coast, and they had a special train. So my brother and I, and my twin brother and my older brother, went down to Sydney, and we hopped on this platform in this train. There was like I don't know how many people were on the train, but it was a special train just to take kids up to this camp up in Tullabudgera. And actually, at that camp, and if you know my brother Alan, he got saved and filled with the Spirit. And he came back again, to my detriment. I found another guy who wasn't all that interested in going to the camp, and we hired a mini moke and drove up through the mountains, and I skipped it again. Now, fortunately, God is good. It was in the process of my mum coming down here and getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, Chas and Len decided that they would begin an outreach up in my area. It was actually in my mum's house. God knows ways to get us in a place where we just can't skip it. And it was still my choice. But as I came home from school and I was living in the same house with my mum, I began to hear the gospel and God began to work on my heart again. And I made a decision. And I guess before we get to the end of this talk this morning, if you're in that place, you know, and I don't know everyone here, but if you're just coming along, you know, just because your parents want you to come along, or you just come along to check the place out, then that's the decision you never want to skip, isn't that one, to just surrender your life to Jesus. And so I can remember the guys used to come up from Narendra, and it was probably a bit before Trevor's sort of was in ministry. He was around and involved in the youth leadership and stuff. And I can remember whether it was Chas or Pastor Malcolm or Len who spoke one Sunday. And it was about committing to God. And I can remember, and it wasn't an altar call. You didn't have to go out the front. But I can remember saying to God, I won't say no. It's like, okay, I'm not going to skip it again. Now, obviously, God's got to, he's going, oh, yeah, we'll see how this goes. I know, I've seen your handiwork in the past. But it wouldn't have been 2 weeks, and the pastor that was there at the time, in condo at the time, was Len Kerner, was it there? Okay, this, we're about the same vintage, aren't we, Stella? Anyway, he came up to me after church and said, we want to start doing scripture in the primary school. And I'm thinking, oh, this is, I've got to skip this one. I was thinking of every excuse I could possibly think in my mind to get out of this. And God says, you know what you said last week? You wouldn't say no. And I thank God that he can, he worked in my life to get me to that place where I couldn't back out. Now, there's been a number of instances just in practical areas of ministry or even some business that we got into. We bought a bus run and we were just locked in. Couldn't skip it. I learned so much more in those times when you can't skip. And I'm not saying that, you know, we don't have a choice and we don't have freedom. But what I'm really saying, I really want to encourage us this morning to don't skip just because it's too hard. Or don't skip for whatever reason, unless God's kind of opening up a door and saying it's time for a change. And even in our kind of attitude and our walk with God, you know, don't skip it. It's interesting. We when we first got married, and we've been married for 30-odd years, we went through a few tough years. My wife had some miscarriages, and my mum died, her dad died. It was kind of like it was tough for the first few years. Marriage wasn't tough, it was just kind of a season of life. And then I'd say for 20 or 30 years, it was like we had a dream run. It was like bulletproof. It was like, it was amazing. We had, in the process, one thing I did miss out was that Mr. Keating actually floated the Aussie dollar and the interest rates went up to 22.5%. And that actually helped a lot of farmers sort of we'd borrowed a lot of money, and that really helped us find a new occupation because we could no longer survive paying 22%. I just forget why we went to that place, but the drought. Oh, yes, that was it. So after that, we came to town. God opened up some amazing doors for business. Thanks, Trev. And then it was like everything we touched just was amazing. And then last year, we had this drought. It was the first year we had no harvest. In the middle of that, I'd had a heart operation, but it wasn't really a big deal. Beb had lost the job she'd had for 20 years. It was a really good job, and it was kind of a really weird situation. And you start to think, you know, and really it hasn't rained in condo now. You start to think, well, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? And it's, if you get to the stage and you think, I'm 60. Well, I'm actually older than 60. Yeah. But can't we just skip this part again? I've been through this before, you know. And I have learnt that God is faithful and he is good. He's awesome. But there's still that kind of, there's still the 18-year-old who had to learn to sit on a tractor for a week at a time and finish a paddock. And you just couldn't skip it. You had to stay there and get the job done. And there's still an 18-year-old there that says, you know, in life, I just want to skip this bit, you know. I don't want to have the stress of, you know, financial stress or, you know, my wife a bit stressed out because she's lost her job and that kind of stuff. But I know this is the time to lean into God. It's the time to go, okay, God, you know, what do you want to do in my life at this time? I don't want to miss what you've got to do in my life. Now, I was reading in Job, and I know you know the passage. Is it Job 23? Where Job says, I looked to the east, and I looked to the north and the south. I just couldn't find God anywhere. Now, we know that God never, he doesn't move. But sometimes in our situation, it's kind of, well, God, where are you? You know, Why is this happening? What's going on here? You know, I've had 25 years of just everything just falling into place. Do I have to go through another test again? Job said, is it verse 8 or 9? It says, but God knows where I'm going. He said, when you try me, I will come forth as gold. And so Job, even though he couldn't understand what God was doing in his situation, in his time, you know, he knew that God was faithful. He knew that God was doing a work in him that would prepare him for what was ahead. We know this story, don't we? We know that God blessed Job and brought him back twice as much as what he had before. So what's God teaching us now? And I don't know what your situations are. Many of your faces, I know your faces, but I don't know your story. But I want to encourage you, press into God. And maybe things are just going awesome. That's great. Enjoy that. You know, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and again, it's a really well-known verse, and I have a bottle of water here somewhere. Mother Trev. Just a bottle of water. He which hath begun in us a good work. You know the rest of it? I'm certain that God who began a good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So God, we want you to continue your good work in my life. And you know, I guess, you know, is it a sign of old age when you start talking about your age? Joan was, if you've got to get to 93 to you, we were quizzing Joan about how old she was yesterday. And Trev was saying, once you get over 90, you can actually start boasting about it. So I'm not that old yet. But, you know, you get to a certain ages in life and you begin to sort of reassess, you know, what you've done and kind of what's ahead for the next few years. But I don't want to ever get to the stage where you go, oh, that's it, you know, I've kind of, it's time to just chill out and let someone else do it. We want to stay focused on what God has got to do in our lives. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, Zechariah was speaking to, I can never say this guy's name, is it Zerubbabel? How many B's are in Zerubbabel? I think I put a few extras in there. It says in verse 10, don't despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. See the plumb line. And if you're building, you have to start somewhere, don't you? And really, for me, that's what God is saying is that Zerubbabel, say that guy's name, is he's holding the plumb line. We know what the plumb line is. It's a bit of string with the weight on it, isn't it? The whole purpose of the plumb line is to set the standard, isn't it? It's to set the perpendicular, the vertical line that's correct. And really, what he's saying is he's laying a foundation. So even, you know, whatever God is teaching you, he's laying a foundation for what he's going to build in the future in our lives. We press into him if we really ask him what he's doing. Every year I like to read a biography or two. This year I read the Winston Churchill's biography. And again, I'm not one who glorifies war. I've seen the effects of war. I've seen my friend's two sons' lives being devastated from tours of Afghanistan and Iraq. Yeah. But I like to, I don't know whether you've ever been to the War Memorial lately. A couple of years ago we went and they've sort of reset the whole, a lot of the displays in the War Memorial, but there's a section where they have just the VC winners. Has anybody been in the area? And you can read about every VC winner. You can read their story. And you realise a few things. One is that they were just guys that chose in the middle of some sometimes dire situations to just not give in, to kind of press in. You know, for lots of times it wasn't to seek glory. In most of the stories, it was about doing something for their mates. It wasn't about making it, you know, themselves famous. And so I read this story of Winston Churchill, and it was, because I've always been intrigued with his life. It was interesting to see a man who had, he had lots of failings. He'd made some terrible mistakes. In the First World War, he's basically in a large part responsible for the Gallipoli campaign and the things that happened there. And as you read his biography, you realise that he had a lot of opposition. He had in Parliament, he had a big section of the Parliament actually wanted to try and work out an agreement with Hitler and some sort of negotiated truce. But through this whole time and the pressure that was surrounding him and just the decisions that needed to be made through the war, he chose to be resolute and to trust God and to knew that he had to lead the government, he had to lead the nation and be strong. And so it was always, for me, it was encouraging to just see how you manage your fears and your doubts and stay resolute and not quit. I don't know about you. We've got any other fans of Winston Churchill here or not? But I thought about some stories in the Bible, and we'll just touch on these about people who chose not to skip, not to skip. And I guess we have to start with Jesus, don't we? In the Garden of Eden, and we know the story, don't we? Right before he went to the cross, Jesus is in the garden. He's praying. Whether you've watched the movie The Passion, but in the movie The Passion, it's a really dark scene, and there's like this dark kind of spirit that's sort of encircling Jesus as he's there praying in the garden. And I hadn't thought about it till I watched this, but it was depicting the spiritual, like his enemy Satan, trying to get Jesus to skip. That's what the struggle was about, wasn't it? It wasn't just that he had to face the cross. And even Jesus, in his humanity, you know, he cried out to God, God, isn't there another way? Can I skip? And we've said the same thing to God. Can't I skip this, you know? It's not just like going to the dentist, you know. Can I skip going to the dentist? But can I skip this difficult decision? Can I skip this phase of my life? But we know Jesus, we know the story, didn't he? The Bible says that, no, he said, no, not my will, but your will be done. So this first thing we see about the skipping is, and again, not the rope skipping, but this decision to just stick in there. God, I'm not gonna run away. I'm not going to give in. So, Lord, I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to surrender to what you have for my life. And it's not like God wants to make our life miserable. Don't get me wrong here. He doesn't want to make our life miserable. He doesn't want to make our life hard. Because just like those heroes that we read about in the Hall of Fame with the Victorian Cross winners, for us there is a great reward in not skipping. And that's a reward of serving Christ faithfully and hearing those words in eternity. You know, well done, you good and faithful servant. It was great to hear some people talk about Warnsey yesterday, you know, and his faithfulness through all those years. So firstly, Jesus was in the garden. He chose not to skip. The second one was the Good Samaritan. And, you know, there are times when we are just faced with inconvenient situations. It might be another person's trouble. Can just be just things of life, and we know the story, don't we? The first two guys, they just chose to skip. It's like too hard. It's not my problem. And I guess, and again, it's just so easy, isn't it? It's so easy to miss an opportunity just to choose to skip. But we know that the third guy, the Samaritan, it wasn't even really his job. It was He wasn't the same race. But Jesus, it was a story that Jesus told to describe love, but it's an illustration of sometimes how easy it is just to skip. I think about David and Goliath. You know, I don't know how many soldiers were there facing Goliath, but there was thousands. Thousands. Any one of them could have chosen not to skip. Because it wasn't about the ability as a soldier. It was about their ability to trust God. And sometimes, you know, we can be in a situation where it's just going to take one person not to skip. Maybe I don't know what the giant is, when we've all got different giants in our workplace, in our families, in our communities. But David chose not to skip, didn't he? He chose not to run. Something within inside of him said, this is not right. And it's a bit like the VC winners, isn't it? It's like, I don't care what the other 10,000 are doing. I'm not going to skip. I'm not going to miss this opportunity. You know, I tell you, I'm a skipper. You give me an opportunity, I'll run. We were singing that song. Where's Nat? I will not be afraid. I feel a bit guilty singing that song. Because the reality is, we do feel afraid. And I want to... I don't know about you. Okay, none of yous are ever... You're all just bold as lions and you never feel afraid. But really... Fear is only a problem when it stops us doing. We can feel. I mean, I spent half my life standing up. It's interesting that God would choose someone with a stutter who wouldn't even talk on a telephone. You know, I say to the kids at youth, I say, you think you've got problems? You know, God could give you the ability to do stuff that you never thought you could do if you choose not to skip. If you just choose to go, well, I'm going to go and teach Scripture. I didn't tell you the story about the primary school teaching. Why would they choose? That's another whole sermon in itself. To make it worse, it was year five with the principal's son in the class. Oh, he was a smart aleck. He knew he was bulletproof. It was in the days where technology meant strip films, you know. Cassette tape that was linked to a... You're all too young, aren't you? But they had this projector where you wound the strip and it showed the pictures and it told the story. Disaster. Disaster. As soon as you get out of sync with the... And then all hell would break loose and the kids would be going, well, you're out of... I was... Anyway, at the end of that year... we're getting close to finishing, don't worry. At the end of that year, we had the Christmas carols in the park and this lady comes up to me and she says... Are you the guy who teaches year five scripture? I'm thinking, oh, no. I won't tell that story. There was a few embarrassing moments. And I'm thinking, oh, this mother's going to rip shreds off me. Anyway, it was the mother of the principal's, this kid. He was a pain. She said, I don't know what you've been doing. And when she said that, I thought, oh, here we go. I don't know what you've been doing, but my son's been reading his Bible. I was like, oh. It's like... It's amazing what can happen if you don't skip. And look, and I wonder, you know, if I'd missed that opportunity, who knows? I don't know. We never know what we miss out on when we skip. But anyway, that was one I didn't skip. And I've really tried to stick at the not skipping. Sometimes I have skipped the odd one, but it does take courage, doesn't it? And it doesn't mean that we'll have an absence of fear, but it does mean that we can make a choice to go and do something, even if we feel afraid. That's when fear becomes a problem. The last one, and I'll finish with this one, was the crippled man. The crippled man at the well, Bethesda. He didn't really choose to skip, but he'd been in the same place for 38 years. When Jesus said to him, do you want to be healed? He didn't say, yes, I want to be healed. He just made an excuse. Well, he's basically saying, I've given up. You know, I'm here. I'm going through the motions. But I don't believe it'll ever change. Because, you know, And he said, oh, because I never get the chance to get in the water first. Someone else always beats me to it. So in his inside of him, there's something that's sort of given up, hadn't he? And I think, you know, we can sometimes get to that place. We've been doing the same thing. Maybe we haven't seen any results, or we've been believing for a breakthrough in our life or in our family or in our school. Don't give up. Don't skip. So those three stories, four stories, remind us of different things. Firstly, you know, David and Goliath. Don't be put off by how big the situation is. Don't be put off because no one else is going to prepared to stand up. It just takes one person, doesn't it? One person to say, I'll step into that. I'll do that. The Good Samaritan. Sometimes they're just inconvenient opportunities that you think, oh, this is not really my place, or can't someone else do it? Let's not miss those opportunities when God wants us to take them. And it all comes back to like Jesus in the garden. Lord, I surrender my life. Lord, I thank you for each of these people that are here this morning. We thank you that you have a plan and a purpose. Lord, you said it's far bigger than what we could even imagine or think. Thank you that you are faithful, you are always good. You always want to do work in our lives. And Lord, I pray now that you would give us opportunities, make aware of them when we can step in and make a difference. Father, I pray for those of us who have struggled with fear or even just a sense of failure and giving up, that Lord, you would relight that desire in within us this morning to step in, to lean into you. Father, I pray for those of us that have just going through difficult seasons, God, that we won't just focus on skipping it and dodging what's happening, but Lord, we just really surrender to you, Jesus, and what you want to do in our lives. We trust you. We know that you know where we are going. We know that you are working a good work within us, and we will come forth as gold. Father, I thank you for this church and for Trevor and the team. Father, we just pray now for your blessing over them in Jesus' name. Amen.